Because I need to get that, the, because I'm not, because normally I do it with a beat, innit?
Yeah, you need
so,
the rhythm.
Yeah, I need to get the rhythm start. Okay, cool. Boom. Yo, grouping greens. Life was so fun, but it wasn't so green until my face turned blue. Mummy shouted at me, it was about curfew. Always thought it wasn't fair that other kids got to stay out, but didn't realise mum knew how the late play was gonna play out, play out. Yo, and back in the day, man had a Nokia TV, no broadband either, so the world couldn't reach me. And it's easy to see why these kids pick up a nine, as these wolves in the ends encircle. Like Scrap says, you got to be hard, but like the turtles, before you get mullered and squirtled.
Because you got some lines that flow into the next line.
Yeah. See, none of that was a lie. Yeah, hey. Guys, tell the truth. And whatever you say, tell the truth, bro.
Hello from The Edit, it's Future Alvin.
Yeah, so it's Cameron here.
Hi guys, Justin here.
Hey, it's your girl T here on After Sundown Podcast.
And you're locked into the After Sundown Podcast.
Welcome to the After Sundown Podcast.
Welcome to the After Sundown Podcast.
Sit back and enjoy.
Enjoy.
It's about to be a mazzoline still.
So, just a quick introduction for this week's episode. We do have a special guest with us, Lyndon. We also did have Talitha join us digitally in this week's podcast, but unfortunately the audio has corrupted, so we won't be able to hear Talitha with us, but she was present with us in spirit, certainly. Hope you enjoy nevertheless, and we begin.
Okay, cool. All right, so welcome again. Man's got Lyndon here. Justin's gone out for a bit, but yeah, so I was kind of thinking, when thinking about identity or whatever, because these men want me to be really organized, you know, I had to write out questions. So, first question I got is, so, do you know who you are, and how do you know? How do you know it? Does that make sense?
Okay.
Yeah? So, I think for me, how do I know who I am? I think there's always like a reference point in it. So, I think for me, I look at my family, my ethnicity sometimes as well, where I grew up, and I look back at that and I think, yo, okay, that's the foundation that makes up who I am. Yeah, and that's kind of how I how I know it, kind of thing. So, I don't know. What does everyone else think?
You know when you ask, okay,
who are you?
Do you know who you are?
Yeah.
It's like, it's so, like Cameron was saying, multifaceted, like what, from what angle
am I looking at? From whatever angle.
So there's certain elements of me that I don't know who I am, man. Like obviously it's like, who am I in like a marriage setting? Like, I don't know.
Oh, okay.
You see what I'm saying? Like, or even certain parts of, like, emotionally, how am I? Do you know what I mean? Like, who am I fully, like, emotionally? Like, there's certain elements of my emotions that I, A, haven't mastered, and B, haven't come across. I've never been violated, like, proper. Like, if a man was to violate me in the street, how am I going to move? Do you know what I mean? There's certain parts of me, like, I can't predict, I don't know.
Okay.
So there's certain parts of myself that I don't know.
Okay. So is it fair to say, like, certain situations and age also, you have to, I don't think we do this consciously, but like, who you are changes
Over time.
100%.
Okay. So what would you say, Alf?
Who am I? I think now I know to a large degree who I am. And I think part of that is because I think that there's certain elements of me that, oh, there's certain things that I've made a decision on. So where I've gone, this is how I react to this, or this is how, and there's some things where I've prayed, I'm like, Lord, help me to react like this to, if I'm confronted with these sort of situations. I think I know what I like, I know what I don't like, I know I think I have a relatively good understanding of my temperament in that I know either how what like I tend to be relaxed almost most of the time. I stress, but in a way that does something, if that makes sense. I'm talking too much about myself.
The question's about you, bro.
I know, but you asked. What did you say?
I said,
do I know who?
Like, do you know who? Yeah. Do you know who you are?
Yeah.
And how do you know it? Like, what feeds into how you know who you are? It's a.
Because I think about it a lot. Like, I have spent enough time. One of the things I think is that who we are is partly based on our experiences, partly based on our background, whether that be culturally, ethnically, societally, who you're raised by, family. It's based around all of those elements. But then I think that there's another important bit which is like who you choose to be, if that makes sense. So that as well as having all of those things, it's almost like I've started to go, oh, okay, I like how so and so does this. I want to do it like that person. Mm. Or I like these bits of my personality. I like, I'll keep those. These bits I don't like, I want to try and like get rid of those. And sometimes, like, I remember one time my brother said something to me and it's like, he told me something about myself and I was like, and you know, when you get told something about yourself, your initial reaction is like, you're defensive. You're defensive, like, no, and you're like wriggling, and then you're like, and then when you're on your own and you're in your room and you're mulling over the argument and you're like, what could I have said, what should I, and then you're like, is it true? And then you're like, maybe it is true. And then you, and for me, it's like, I've started doing that a lot, like started going, okay, what do I think of myself? Taking also on board what people think of me. Because I think that our identity is, I believe personally that identity is negotiated. I believe that there's an element, or because I believe that we have a check on who we are. Because if no one checks who we think we are, and we go, I am who, like, my identity solely based on
what you think.
There's a chance that I could become delusional. Delusional, but there's a chance that I. There's no way then that I could be wrong.
Like, what are the things that you've been told about your identity in it before you came of age in it? So Talifa gave the example about Christianity. Obviously being black isn't one. Well, to be fair, I had one thing. I was in a park one time and one little boy came up to me and he was with his mum, he was white, innit? Mm. And he was like, "You're brown," and I was like, "Yeah, I am brown." It's good. Like, yeah. Obviously, he's never interacted with
or
as much people like me.
The honesty of children.
Yeah, no. But
and he's seeing
what's real.
Yeah.
He's not like the.
Because really, technically, everyone, like, we're brown.
I want to know what his mum said.
He's
black.
No,
he's not.
this was the time when, like, the Lives Matter thing was, like, popping off heavy, like, last year, innit? And I was out in the park and that. And I think the mum kind of felt a little bit embarrassed, innit? Like,
she shouldn't, innit?
Because obviously, he's a little white boy, innit? It's just, man, I was just giving an example to say, like, there's some stuff about, like, who you are. Like, people talk about who you are, like, what I am is literally I'm brown. What I am literally is 6 foot. No one tell me that I'm not.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay.
And then what I am is sexy also. That's obviously debatable, but energy. Give it to them. But yeah. So what are some other like things that people have kind of pushed on you, or not even pushed on you, but just told you about yourself?
When I was little. That reminds me of the pot of paper. When I was little,
oh yeah,
when I was little, my mum used to tell me that I never used to listen. And so...
Did he?
All that, and that was easily distracted. And they were both true. But I remember growing up, and I'd like those things kind of... It stuck with me, not because I didn't believe them, but because... because I believed them, but more so I wanted to kind of...
Prove wrong.
Yeah. And so, like, even, like, my older brother and my older sister, they used to like, tease me all the time and say that I was, you know, I was dumb or this or that because they were more... Because they went in for, like, grammar school, like, 11s plus and things like that, 11 plus. And they always used to say that I was slow because of that. Yeah. So now, yeah, I'm like the sharpest tool in the box. And I made sure that I was like that so I could prove them wrong. So sometimes the things that people tell us, they stick with us. Mm-hmm. And we can either take them on and they become our identity, or we can try and prove people wrong in it. Mm. And the opposite becomes our identity.
Yeah. I think sometimes as well, you almost internalize it in it. So if someone gets called dumb, you're dumb, whatever, you start to internalize, especially from like people that are older than you as well. Like maybe like an older brother or parents, or sometimes and your parents are crap and that, yeah, they call you dumb or whatever. Mm-hmm. And you internalize that and then you become dumb, you get me, and mm-hmm. you don't try, and then you'd never see what had come of that, and then that becomes your identity almost, doesn't it? Mm-hmm. So I think the next question I had was, how do you think the world sees you? And it kind of they both kind of feed into each other. So I can go first again.
Go for it.
So again, with that whole story about the little white boy in it,
yeah.
I can't help that people see me and see a brown person in it or a person of colour in it. So like any room that I walk into in it, even if I bleach my skin like Vybz Kartel, brother, I still got big lips, you know what I'm saying? I still look black, you know what I'm saying? So that's how the world literally sees me in it. And then obviously people say that there's obviously certain contexts with looking a certain way as well. People may see me as intimidating. Before Corona, people might have been crossing the road for man, you know what I'm saying? Obviously not all the time, innit? But yeah. So yeah, I've been told as well that I've got a very mean face as well. So yeah. So that kind of that's how people see me as well, innit? I know people said a lot of stuff like see me as a joker or yeah, the loud person or whatever. So yeah, that's me. That's how I think the world sees me.
Are any of those things, which things of those do you see as true or false, or what do you think about what people think, or what do you think about what you think people think of you?
Certain things won't affect me in it, in terms of literally like the way how people see me won't affect me. But for example, if someone's got like maybe a bias towards a certain group in it, that could affect me for like job opportunities, for example, because I might look more aggressive because of some other reason in it. So some stuff may affect me more in it, but I don't really try not to dwell on those things in it. Yeah, I think that's my answer really to that.
Fair.
What is your identity rooted in? Like, what's the cement to it? Like, if everything was to be stripped away, what's you?
What's me? Trying to see, I'm having a pause here because I know what I'm going to say in it. But okay, unapologetic. You know what I mean? I care about feelings, but then I don't at the same time. You know, I'm very subjective. So like, say if I know you, then I can like I'll have empathy for you. If I don't know you, then like I wouldn't. I mean,
okay,
I'll keep it moving. Say if you got stabbed, I'll keep it moving. If my friend got stabbed, then I'll back case. But yeah,
okay.
But yeah. Other than that, it's like I've said it before as well. Like, I wouldn't be like where I am now if I didn't obviously know like if my parents wasn't really their religion. Okay. Say if like, okay, say for example, if like it would have been different if my dad got what he wanted and wanted to live in London than if my mom wanted to move in Brom. Okay, I would have been a different person. Say if I would have lived in London.
That's funny as well, because obviously it's the decisions of our parents ultimately affects the, well, it's obvious, isn't it, but it affects where you are, so it affects what decisions you're able to make, and it, if mine was in London, might have been, I don't know, bruv. Different story, maybe, you know what I'm saying? But yeah, so the question was, what is your identity rooted in? If everything was to be stripped away, what's
when you say every, what's everything that's being stripped away?
Like, no, bruv, I don't know, bruv. If
my identity, I think that the way I think is very
complex.
I see myself and I see the world, or I see people.
Can't lie, you're gonna have to get to your point, bro.
Yeah. Hang on. I want to.
This is long, bro. I see the world, bro. I asked you the question, you know.
Hang on. That's what I'm rooted in.
I can't hang on no more.
Wait. Let me think it through first.
Linden, go on. What's your identity? Like, if you have to say,
I've got it.
No. Linden Ghost.
Oh my god, I'm gonna lose it. You know, when it comes back to me, it's gonna be gone again.
Nah, go on. I'll be quick.
Go on, quickly. Spare out.
Nah, go on, Linden.
What?
Are you gonna remember your point?
Yeah, I will remember. I hold it.
Go on.
I think my identity is rooted in, I'd say if I was to say one word, it would kind of be like mindfulness or awareness, because I think about myself in different environments and different elements come out of me at different times.
Okay, yeah.
I would have said the cliche answer, which would have been God, which would have been true, but even then, I feel like if I was to boil that down, it still comes down to mindfulness, because the one thing that I can never escape is my own awareness of where I am, what I'm doing, etc., etc. So even in an environment where I'm speaking about God or where I'm carrying him everywhere, and even though that shapes sentences that I say, the way I look at people, the way I think, the actions that I perform, it still boils down to mindfulness.
Yeah. I'm happy man didn't say God still. Not that I don't love
I'm
God.
I'm gonna say that,
but not that I don't love God. But we don't know what you mean though. Like there's certain quality. Do you understand what I mean, Talifa? Like,
okay, I'll jump on that then.
You can't just say God, it's a cop out, bro.
No, I know. Which is why to me, that's why I was struggling with what I wanted to say, because there's you have to be specific about what you mean, because as you're saying,
I feel like I was specific in what I'm saying.
No. What I'm saying is the reason that you didn't want the answer is because if I would have said that, it wouldn't have been specific, and it wouldn't have been, if I were to say what my identity is rooted in, I can't, like, to me, I know right now that my identity is rooted in wanting to be what I'm not yet. So like,
okay, yeah.
In my mind,
yeah, I like that. I'm like, still. Everyone's is deep, man. Wow. Okay, go on.
Like in my mind, I'm like, especially like if you're reading, man, if every now and then you're reading about, say, Christ's life, and you see how short of that you are, like you see, that was funny. I heard it so crystal clear.
Sorry,
it's funny. You see how I know how far away from that I am, and how much further there is to, I don't want to say it like that, but I know how far away from being like Christ I am.
Yeah.
Which is what I want to be. And which is part of why I said earlier, like, I think that part of our identity is, like, a lot of our identity is who we want to be. So that even if we were to take what everyone said of us, and we were to take everything, who you are is who you are, rather than who others sort of say you are.
Yeah.
So that if someone says,
that's a banging Instagram quote, by the way. That's a banging one.
Save it for your captions.
Yeah, yeah.
So that if someone were to call you a liar, but you know you haven't lied,
Black men don't lie.
I lie sometimes. I guess that means I'm white.
You're from the city, bro.
Huh? I said you're from the city.
The city. I couldn't be blacker.
It's true, still. It's true.
But, yeah, that's my answer. Like, I have a question.
Go on.
Like, what governs how you think? What governs the decisions you make? Like, what is the...
There's two
what
questions.
What are the rules of your mind, essentially?
There's what should and what does happen.
Yeah, that's
so what does happen is that there's obviously myself and I want to do certain things in it. Yeah. Then God is telling me, yo, you got your Bible study you need to prepare for. You got, you know, the pod, you've got like just certain standards you need to live by. But then myself is like, boy, like this is long, man. So when you was little, because I know Talitha mentioned it, your parents said, yo, you're Christian, that's what you wear. And it's kind of what you was rooted in. I want to know instances in it, like when were moments in your life, because we talk about experiences vaguely in it, but what experiences started to change your identity in it? Like, I know for me, I know, like, obviously the area that I grew up in, whatever, saw certain people making certain decisions, and I was like, yo, certain things look to be dangerous, so I was like, yo, it's not for me, you get me? And there was another quite defining situation as well, but I'll leave that for another pod, innit. I remember one time one of the first fights I ever saw when I went school, in it, yeah, when I went secondary school, yeah.
It was Wesley.
No, it wasn't Wes. It wasn't Wes. But that one was mad. That one was mad. I let him talk on it though. But I mean, the first fights I saw, it's basically like watching gorillas fight, bro. You get me? It was mad.
Were they both black?
Not even. There's two black dons and one white youth, innit? Oh, and okay. The white youth was getting battered, bruv. The white youth was getting battered. His head went
by
in the ground. Yeah, by both. By both of them. By both of them. Man. By both of them. His head was getting buried, like everything. Man still jumped up, innit? Bloody. Mm. Like, it was sad. And I remember watching this as like a little year seven, bruv. Book back was bigger than that. And I was like, I don't want any part of that store.
So I remember,
certain things when I saw like that, like when I saw like serious violence.
I can't hold a bang, bro.
Bro,
that'll end me.
I could barely hold a bang my side, man, in my ear, bro. Yeah, never mind.
I'll have to play dead for a bit. That's out still.
So that's what I need. Awesome. That's what I need, bro. I was about it, bro. And I think for me, then it kind of reassured me that, all right, then cool, I can comfortably and be comfortable going down that certain route in it. Because I know, especially for like young boys as well, growing up in it, they all feel like, especially with social media as well in it, they all feel like they have to be a certain way or whatever in it. And in certain situations, you do have to handle yourself in it, but it's not like you need to be putting yourself in that situation every single day in it. You get me? So I think for me, I knew that I didn't want to be a bad boy from before then as well, bro. But those other situations, but yeah.
I hear that, but at the same time, I think even that can change, because it was the same for me. I remember a lot of the people that I grew up with in primary school went on to be, and even secondary school went on to be people that you see in the Birmingham Mail from, like banned from Birmingham. You know the man that was banned from Birmingham from. Some of them are my age mate. Some of them I know personally.
Yeah.
Some of them I had close scrapes with in secondary school, and even like primary school, you know, like the film One Day.
Yeah.
I went primary school with a lot of them, man.
Yeah. One Day was sick, you know, when that came out, bro. That was
a musical, man. Stay calm.
was it a hood musical?
No, it was.
But I learned quickly where I was in the food chain, you get me? Yeah, I was the learner. Yeah, I was. Me and my family, we were the book smart Donnies. You get me? We knew our thing. Even though we would, you know, our family was for that school that we went to at primary school in Handsworth. all the teachers knew us because of the generations before, and yeah, we was a bit naughty, but we were never like that. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, so
I knew from early that I weren't no bad man, but I was tested when I left school.
Yeah.
And there was one defining moment that almost changed the course of my life, and it was the day that I got robbed in town. Me and my brother, it wasn't even anything serious, but this is what happens when pride gets in the way, right? And I remember there was just this guy in it, and he was with this group of Donnies, yeah? There was probably about 8 or 9 of them, and it was late, and it was in the markets, innit? And so he was bad because he was with all of his Donnies, yeah? He separated himself from them. They kind of just waited down there and approached me and my brother. It was just me and him. And they were like, yo. He's like, yo, you got peace. I was like, because we were smoking at the time, and it so I was burning a spliff. And I was like, nah, ain't got nothing like that. And he was like, oh, so what's that then? And I was like, oh, it's a spliff, innit? I held it up. I was like, yeah, look, it's a spliff. Man took it out of my hand. I was like, what? You mad? Whoa. I grabbed him by his arm. I was like, don't touch me. And my brother was like, yo, allow it, look. And all of them Donnies were just waiting down there. I was like, I was so vexed.
Wolves.
You see them poles that hold up the markets?
Yeah.
I was just banging up, kicking, punching all of them. I went home, my knuckles was bad. And I was like, all right, then safe. I said, if I ever see that Donny again, and I was so serious.
Yeah.
I remember walking around. I used to walk around with a knife. Walked around with a knife, and my little 2-3 inch thing just in my pocket. Just walked around with it everywhere. And I was so serious. If I see him, I'm going to juke him up. And I was serious.
Fair play, man.
And I remember everything in my world at that time. It just geared around that. I remember started listening to darker music. I weren't playing with no one. You glance at me and it's any more than a glance. We're gonna see where this goes. And I was so, but the Lord preserved me. And I didn't get into no, because there was people.
No passer.
I know there was people that could have handled me, but at that time I weren't backing down, because I was forced to back down then. I ain't backing down for no one there. I don't care. I'll lose my and I was just that kind of idiot kind of guy in it.
But the thing is, though, the world is so small, though. When you're in a certain area and there's certain things going on, and maybe something's happened, like, you're one track minded, innit? And nothing like that's happened to me, fortunately, innit? Similar certain thing, but, like, yeah, I 100% get that, in terms of you felt powerless at a certain point. Rightly so, though, because there's wolves up there, bro.
You get me?
About to descend, like, bro, what did I talk about? 8-9 people, bro. That's couple hands, bro. You get me? I'm not good at maths, but there's a couple of hands. You know what I'm saying? So
18.
Couple of hands.
18.
Don't listen, man. You know, I had my struggles. All right. You know, I had my little struggles, man,
you know your Taj Taylor. You should first degree. Come on.
Are you okay? I'm a good writer. Not a good. I'm fairly good at that, but I think I've gone through similar stuff like that as well. But I think sometimes as well, you feel like you have to live up
to a certain
thing as well. So in terms of, has anyone else felt like their identity has had to change as well? And I kind of want to explore that biblically as well, like if anyone's got any examples and stuff.
Oh, no, I was going to say...
Say what you're going to say.
What are you going to say, sir?
I'll hold this question.
No, because
Go on,
you say what you're going
to
say.
Yeah, the last time I went to Buxton with my boy to obviously go out, I remember my car was like, my car didn't have tax. Car didn't tax it. And then like, I don't know what it was. Okay, what? See, I didn't have tax. Oh, they have MOT. One of the two, yeah. I was driving about MOT, one of the ones. But obviously at the time, the car was like kind of new. So I was like, I knew I could have got away with it. But obviously, basically... So I'm driving, yeah. My boy's in the car. His boy's in the car as well. And then, like, what happened? Obviously, police have come around now. Black guy, all right looking car. There's no, this time it didn't have no damage on it as well. So it was in good condition. So, yeah, driving around. And then, like, I was like, damn, they're going to stop me. Wait, I didn't have a front license plate as well, neither.
Oh, wow.
No, it's not even that. It's because, like,
Did they approach you? Didn't
see the front, in all honesty. So they saw it from the side. So obviously, like, we've got up now. So I was like, nah, they're going to stop me. So I've basically pulled over myself and they came up behind me. Bearing in mind, I know that there's no real tax, no nothing, but I know I can talk it off. But then obviously, my boy's friend in the car now, like, has said to his boy, "Oh, I've got something on me." It's like, "What you got on you?" It's like, "What you got?" It's like, obviously, basically, he's got cocaine on him. Oh. I'm just thinking, like, yeah, it's obviously my boy's, that boy's got coke in his like pocket or anything like that. Then I'm just like, oh, get out of the car. So obviously, I've got out of the car myself. So I was like, get out of the car. I can spin it. Yeah, so obviously, if I stay, because obviously I'm the driver, I'm not going to run off. Like, you go into the house, and I'll talk to them.
And
he's like, oh, so is it, she checked my car, checked everything, car, Justin Bishop, all of that. Like, where do you live? Obviously, I live there. And then obviously, I've said all of that, confirmed all that. It's like, oh, there's coming up, there's no road tax, anything like that. I was like, oh, man, that's a bit mad. It's a new car, you know. Like, obviously, I've kind of spin it. It's like it's a new car.
Yeah.
It should be there. I'll check it when I go. And then it's like, okay, cool. Just make sure you're okay. But it's like, it's drove away.
Yeah.
Obviously, I know how to speak to police, you know what I mean? I'm not going to be a waste. But yeah, so obviously, that right there was like, yo, I'm not about this. Like, I'm not about the whole, like, trying to have random people in my car, but also like just trying to like do it. Obviously, I went to Buxton to obviously go out as well, to like see my friends and obviously go out. So I was just like, I'm not about that life no more. So let me just like try and change the narrative and like try and be serious. Obviously, it has worked a little bit, but obviously doing this as well. I weren't doing this at the time, but obviously this is kind of like a new Saturday show instead of like just doing up madness in other places. So yeah, it's one of those ones really.
I hear that.
Anyone else?
What's been an experience for?
Well, mine's been like, maybe from young, like there were things that like, so there'd be things that I'd see that would make me go, okay, I don't want to do that. Which like, someone asked me, why, like I was at work, someone said, oh, how come you've never ever had alcohol? And I was like, I answered him the normal answer I give, but then afterwards I was thinking about it. I was like, but why not even the curiosity? Why not with loads of things? Why not even the curiosity or anything? And I think it's because like, so like I knew a family member from when I was really young who drank alcohol, and I looked at that and I was like, nah.
Who said E?
But like, I looked at the because you know sometimes you know things often have like a good side and a bad side, right, so to speak,
yeah.
Or not, maybe not so good, but they have in inverted commas a benefit, shall I say?
Yeah.
So like,
I know you mean stuff.
And that's what we, we see on. That's what's pushed more than anything. So that like when I watch the news, like say for example I'm watching the American elections, and I'm watching like say for example with cannabis, like the coming legalization of cannabis, wherever that debate stands, but then you see it in a different light, you see it in its most positive light, and then you see I don't know, like the most, some of the most successful people, like Snoop, and he's on TV, and you know, and so you see everything in its positive light. You watch Come Dine With Me, and everyone's drinking with a nice glass of wine, and it's all nice and relaxed. And then, but if your first impression of those things is like, you see someone who's like not homeless, but like coming close to that, like, and you see all the negative, you see how it's affected everything, it's affecting them in that regard, then that was the first time I made that decision, if that makes sense, or that's one of the things that I saw that made me make that decision.
So you saw it in its extremity first,
yeah,
and then you were like, nope, I ain't even going there, even though later on in life you saw the nice calm benefits of it.
Yeah, I think that's
that makes sense.
Can go two ways though, like that can go two ways. Like loads of people have probably had the same experience. I think I've had a little bit of a similar experience, but I don't think that wasn't my reason.
It's just the way it went for me.
I think there's multiple factors in it to why that you didn't start drinking as well in it, because loads of people, like kids, will probably see their parents drinking and be like, nah, but when they grow up they're the same.
My parents would say oh, don't do this, it's not good, blah, blah, blah. And then, but like, which is so weird. I hope I take this into parenting. They were never like this. Like, they always sort of explained, but then they were never like,
do not do it.
If you dare come, and all that sort of stuff.
Yeah, to be fair, my mom's not like that. I ever still. She's never been like, yo, like, if you do this, I'm going to kill you.
It don't work. It just don't work.
Yeah. It does. If anything, that, I think, had that been the case, I would have
tried it.
Yeah, I would have done. I would have gone for everything.
I would have been reckless, man.
To be honest, I think in the future, if my kids want to do that, that's them, innit? To a certain age, innit?
That's
I'm
true.
I'm just like, what can you do? Like, be like, oh, no. Them parents there, bro, their kids are the worst, you know, bro. I'm telling you, bro. You see the man that were cooped up in that, bruv? Had no
wriggle room.
When
no
they have freedom, bruv.
Wriggle room.
They're
what's
going to soar.
They end up, they're handing anal sex on that, bruv. Yeah, it's mad, bruv.
Oh, mad, bro. Why did I have to go there?
I was not ready.
That's the thing I thought you would say, bruv.
Nah, bruv, it's...
I said anal sex, bruv. Just to keep the integrity, you know. Can't compromise the virginity. We love that.
That's so dumb. Do people actually do that?
Yeah.
And they don't realise that they're still losing their virginity.
There isn't a type of virginity. It's not the type. Real one.
It's a type of virginity.
That's what they class it as.
You know what's mad? Because we was talking about... I can't even mention this now. You better cut this out. You know, we was talking about...
Alright, back to it.
So Bible characters are identity, isn't it? Yeah,
I've got one.
I was literally about to spare out one. Okay, so literally,
all of them in the Bible.
Saul to Paul.
Yeah.
Saul to Paul.
What does that say?
That's Saul to Paul. Deep one, man. That's a deep one.
Well, that's straight away, and that's a name change as well. Actually, Jacob and Israel.
Yeah.
We can go into either of them, or someone can mention another one, but those are literally the two that came off.
I was going to say, off Saul to Paul. Like, there's several interesting things that I've in my head about that. Number one is that Paul was a zealous man, and he states that of himself. He also believes that he's doing the Lord's work in what he's doing.
What, in his first instance?
As Saul, sorry.
Okay.
And I often think, how no pride to go from that to being, to knowing I was wrong. Mm. And to be willing in front of everyone to be like, I remember when his eyes are shut and he's going to, I can't remember the guy's name.
Ananias.
It might be Ananias. Who opens his eyes. Yeah. Okay. He's scared of him.
Yeah.
And to go to people who, I'm going to you and I'm coming to you and I used to kill you the whole time I was wrong. They're people like you. They're people out of pride who will stay in what they know to be wrong.
Right, yeah.
And Satan was very much like that. That's Satan, absolutely. There's a point where he knows what he's doing is wrong, but because of pride. Yeah, you can think that you're absolutely fine and you're doing the right thing.
Right, that's vicious.
I can just see bare movement in my peripheral.
Just bare window wiping, you know. Side hustle, that is.
But yeah.
Jacob to Israel. I think that one's a bit mad as well when he's wrestling as well. And that's the whole... It's very dramatic, all of these.
Because
I think Jacob's one's very dramatic and Saul's the pause. Like, they're very... God intervenes and comes down and, like, wrestles or... knocks him down. Like, you know what I'm saying? And then... Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's a real dramatic one, isn't it? Like, yeah. Real reality check. Beautiful. Real reality check moments. I'm trying to think of anyone else though that had that type of experience.
Let me lay that. Yeah, you know,
Go on.
There's a principle that I think is so important to lay out about identity as well. And it spans across all of the characters and their experiences and us as well. And it's this principle of when you've been changed by God, either the world or yourself or even your circumstances still tell you you're here. So with Jacob to Israel, man still had the brook up here, right? With Saul to Paul, he's preaching and he can see widows and orphans, and when he's preaching to them in the congregations.
I'm just trying to imagine that even him coming to Handsworth or another church or whatever and literally preaching and
he's seeing a youth there, mother, an orphan who he knows he put his dad in prison and or was responsible for his dad dying. So the principle is, right, even when your situation is telling you that you still identify as this bad mind person that you were before, you still have to rely on the fact that God changed your identity no matter what any of these situations or what these people or even yourself are saying.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? It's mad.
So when you mentioned Jacob, mate, like, the crazy thing is his name and the importance of names.
Yeah.
So, bro, his name, Jacob, and he's named this by his parents because of what's happened in the womb with him and Esau. He's been named, so Jacob means supplanter. Like, he's essentially like wrestling his brother to get out of the womb first, kind of thing. And then, Genesis 32, I think it is. He is when he meets God at Peniel, or what he calls the place he then calls Peniel. And God changes his name. Changes his name from Jacob, from supplanter, to the one who wrestled with God and conquered. Like Israel. What you're saying about when God changes your identity, like, there's something about it. It shows us that there's only so much we can do. We really can't change ourselves. When it comes to it, we can't do anything. We can't change ourselves. Who we are. Which is why one of my favorite texts is, I've quoted it several times probably before, like Philippians 2 verse 13, and it talks about, it says, for it is God who works in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. It's God who works in Jacob to change Jacob from the lying, deceitful, cunning guy that he is.
Unfortunately, it is here where the conversation for today ends. We did have a really nice outro from Talitha, but as mentioned before, her audio file is slightly, well, it's corrupted and lost. But we can end on that thought that regardless of who we are today, it is God who will work in us to will and to do of his good pleasure. Who we are today does not have to be who we are tomorrow. Bye-bye, and see you next week.